We are going to read from the book of Esther, starting in chapter 9, verse 20, through the end of the book. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same, year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another, and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the term pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves, and their offspring, and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written, and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority confirming this second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them, and as they had obligated themselves and their offspring with regard to their fasts and their lamenting. The command of Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing. King Ahasuerus imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai, to which the king had advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, all. My friend Jeanette told me my forehead's burned from being in the sun, so I apologize if my forehead offends you. Went to Kennewick, a little too much sun out in that place. Let's pray together. Lord, this weekend, we celebrate the independence of this nation. You've placed us in. We thank you for that, Lord. But this morning, and every day as Christians, Lord, we get to celebrate the independence, the freedom that we have that's only found in the person of your son, Jesus. And so we just come together this morning. This is what's of most importance to us, Lord, is the freedom that we've been granted by you as you sent your son, Jesus, who gave his life for us. He lived like us. He died for us. He ascended from the grave, and he ascended to your right hand, where he ever lives to intercede on our behalf. And so we are We are so thankful for you, for the work that you've done through your son on our behalf, Lord. And just thank you for every brother and sister who has put their faith in you that dwells in this place, Lord. Thank you that we can believe in you and trust that you are the one who holds us in your hands. And we have a safe place in you. And we just thank you, Lord, for that truth. And so help us to believe it afresh this morning. Lord, open our hearts up to whatever you have for us this morning, myself included. I get to preach the gospel, and I need to hear it this morning. So I just thank you, Lord, for the honor of getting to do this, and I thank you for every person that you've placed in here this morning. Lord, I pray that they'd be able to hear you clearly and walk out of this place seeing you more clearly and knowing you more truly. So we lift this time and this space up to you in your son's name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is it. Last week of Esther. I can't believe we're actually going to finish this book. This has been fun to be in this with you guys. We are going to, my hope is anyway, this is the last weekend that I'll preach through Esther. My hope is next weekend to have a time of structured prayer, where I'd love to have maybe five or six brothers and sisters join me up here. And we'll do the usual open in worship and close in worship and communion. But I'd love to have five different people sort of just pray for us and with us together regarding some of the main themes that we've touched on in this book. Things like God's providence and his sovereignty. The fact that we have this God who reverses the fortunes of his people. He is a deliverer of his people. He's a God who prepares his people and appoints them in the times and seasons they're in with specific purpose and meaning that his will would be carried out. And so I haven't talked to those five or six people yet, but I'm going to reach out to some people this week. And so just be prayerful. If you get a phone call from me or I look at you and say, I want to, don't run away from me. Just pray about it. I'm inviting you into that. So. But anyway, let's get into this today. So one of the lessons that we learn on our journey with the Lord is that if we want to walk forward with him, we have to be willing to look back with him, right? We're called to be a people who remember. The people of God are a people who practice remembering the works of God. The psalmist says this, that he says, "Remember the wondrous works that the Lord has done." This is Psalm 105. Remember his miracles. Remember the judgments that he has uttered. And so when we look back and remember what the Lord has done, he doesn't desire for us to get stuck in the past, right? If we are looking back and getting stuck in the past through regret or through nostalgia or anything like that, that is not what God intends for his people as we look back. That's not remembering rightly. If we're remembering rightly, we understand that God desires to empower us to grow closer to him in the present. Right? We look back and see what he's done. We realize that he's with us in the here and now. And our faith in the present increases in him after seeing what he's done in the past, right? And our hope of what is going to happen in the future increases upon remembering the works that he has done in the past. So in short, remembering does not take us from him, it draws us nearer to him. And we were created as his people to be a people who remember. King David, my wife and I have been reading through the Old Testament. King David was a man who practiced remembering. If I read from Psalm 143 for us, this is verses 5 and 6. He said, "Remember the days of old." He says, I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." And so last week, we talked about how God remembers his people. And he shows us that he remembers us as he keeps the promises that he has made to his people throughout the ages. And so this week we get to close with the importance of us remembering the God who has remembered us. So the main focus of the chapter, you probably heard as Cynthia read through it, is this this celebration of Purim. And the Jewish people are a people who have been given many celebrations of remembrance to partake in together. right? There's a history of remembrance woven into the people of God. And these celebrations, a lot of them do, they do look forward to Jesus, right? But not before they call God's people to look back and to remember their God. And so I just wanted to go through just a brief history of some of these celebrations. So there's the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. This is a celebration of New Year, right? Where the Jewish people, they look back and they remember the God of creation. They remember the creator who created Adam and Eve and the heavens and the earth and the land and the sea and has created everything. And at the New Year, they look back and they remember him. And they remember that this God who is sovereignly in control, has all power and might and wisdom to create all things, is sufficient to be in control of their lives in the new year. This is part of the Jewish tradition. They look back in Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement. It's a time for the Jewish people to remember the sins, right, that they have committed against God, the sins that they've committed against one another, and to ask for forgiveness. This is a time for them to, again, practice this remembering. It's good to look back and to be honest about the sins you've committed against God, to be honest about the sins you've committed against one another, and to turn to God afresh, right? And remember that he offers us forgiveness by his grace. Another celebration is the Festival of Booths or Tabernacles, and this is a time for the Jewish people to remember their time of wandering, right, in the wilderness, and they look back as they come out of Egypt and they wander through the wilderness, and they have this God who has, he's provided for them in every way that they've needed. He's caused meat and bread to fall down from the sky, and he's caused water to flow forth from the land. And so the people are called to practice this celebration, right? They look back and they remember this God of theirs. The other one is Passover, which we know is a time for the Jewish people to, again, look back and remember this Lord of theirs who led them out of Egypt. And when the last of the plagues against the people is carried out, that the death of the firstborn son would be laid upon the people, they look back and remember that their God provided them a way through, that the blood of the lamb that was painted on the door lintels, it was sufficient to protect and guide and guard people, God's people from God's wrath that was coming through. And this is Passover. Another one is the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. This is 50 days after Passover, and the Jewish people look back and they remember that the Torah, right, is handed down from God, handed down to the people at Mount Sinai. And they also remember that it's God who provides the first fruits of their wheat harvest. So this is part of these annual rhythms that the people of God are participating in. Another one is Hanukkah, right? The Festival of Lights, where God's people, again, they remember when the temple in Jerusalem is rededicated by the Maccabeans, because if you guys remember, it was defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes, right? He turned the temple into a whorehouse, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar of the temple. But the Maccabeans, they come and they reclaim the temple for God's people, and it's rededicated unto the Lord. And the Lord says, look back and remember my mighty works in these days. And so all of these celebrations are opportunities to remember and to look back on the past and to tell the truth about what happened. Right? They look back and they acknowledge both the good and the bad, and they bear witness to the God who was there through it all and faithful through it all. And that piece about both the good and the bad is really important. Life is beautiful and wonderful, and it's also really painful, and it's really hard, and it always has been. It's part of being human. And so as God's people look back and they remember, it's important that they're honest about both the good and the bad. And if they're not willing to, or if we're not willing to, we'll fail to see a God who is present in in both the good and the bad. So when we remember, we'll see a God who is faithful to use our past to bring us to where we are in the present, and who will get us to where he desires us to be in the future. This is our practice of remembrance. Look back, tell the truth about everything that has happened. Be honest about all of it, right? And be willing to see and look to see your God present in all of it and faithful in the midst of all of it. Amen. I was talking to some friends this last week. I was thinking, before I even looked at the sermon topic, I had found myself reflecting last week about just growing up as a boy and always wanting somebody to tell me what to do and who to be and where to go and how to get there. Like, I have to be honest with you guys, as I look back, I had such a yearning for that, and there's a sadness to it. It's not to villainize the people I grew up with and my parents or anything like that. It's just not something that I had. And I have to be willing to look back and be honest about the good things and the bad things that occurred. And looking back and seeing that I didn't have that, and I so yearned for it. And really up until into my 30s and becoming a Christian, I came into the Christian church like looking for somebody to tell me what to do and who to be. But the reality is what that did was that prepped me for when I did meet Jesus, right? I if I'm honest and I look back upon the joy and the sadness in that, I look at the moment that I met Jesus, and in Jesus, I find a man who will tell me who I am and who tells me what I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to go and how I'm supposed to do it, you know? And so God used all of that in my past. He used the lack thereof so that when I encountered him in the present, I would know, here's somebody who I can rely on. Here's somebody who makes solid proclamations about truth and doesn't waver, who says he's a firm foundation that I can stand on and my feet will not fall. And if I'm not willing to look back and to be honest and to remember the things of old in my life, then I miss the power of this God who was there the whole time, who was preparing me for this, the present moment where I would encounter him and be able to put my faith in him, and who I can walk with in the present and look forward to and to hope in for his future promises to be fulfilled. And so I hope you can understand the power of remembrance in the life of God's people, right? And so a question I have for us this morning, one of them anyways, is, are we a people who practices remembering? Each one of you knows your own situation, your own life. I've talked to many of you. I know that it's really common for us to not want to remember many things, or to remember things wrongly. But are we a people who are willing to look back and to just be honest about what we've been through, right? And to look to see this God of ours in the midst of all of it, both the past and the present and going into the future. It's so important. It's an invitation for you this morning and to me also, like, let us be willing to be honest and tell the truth as we look back and remember what has happened in our lives, and then also what's happened in just history past of all the saints that have gone before us, and to see this God of ours. Amen. So I mentioned the main focus of this section is this celebration of Purim, and I just wanted to touch on that briefly. Purim's a holiday that we see in the passage. Mordecai, he obliged the Jewish people to remember, to partake in every year, and he put it in writing, and it was affirmed by the queen. It was received by the Jewish people, and it's carried out to this day. This is verses 20 through 22, just a little summary. The Jewish people, they remember the day, right, that they got relief from their enemies. They remember the day that their sorrow is turned into gladness, the day that their mourning is turned into a holiday, the day that was known for, it's a day that became known for feasting, for gladness, and the sending of gifts and food to one another and to the poor. And then in verses 27 through 28, they firmly obligated themselves to the keeping of this celebration. Their offspring joined them, and without fail, they would keep these 2 days according to what was written and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. This is what we see lay out in the passage. And if you guys remember, we encountered the term pur in, it was in chapter 3 when it first appears in the book, verse 7, and Haman and his men are, they're casting pur, or they're casting lots to determine the days that the Jews would be annihilated. And I talked about this when we went through chapter 3, but the casting of pur, the casting of lots, it's not just a, it's not like we would like roll a dice or flip a coin and just sort of to determine an arbitrary event. This is actually a appeal that they're making for spiritual wisdom. Where should we go? What should we do? This is what Haman and his people are doing to determine the annihilation of an entire people group within Persia. This is not a this is an evil spirit that these people are dedicated to and appealing to. And while Haman and his men sought the guidance of an evil spirit to carry out this evil work upon the people of God, God saw fit that the lots cast for destruction would be turned into and transformed into lots of deliverance and for restoration of his people. And so if you look at verses 24 through 25, again, just a summary of that, Haman plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and he cast pur or lots to crush and destroy them. But when it came before the king, it says he gave orders in writing that this evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Right, so as Haman and his people are seeking the evil upon God's people, God turns it on his head. And if you guys remember, Haman gets he gets killed on the very gallows that he built to kill Mordecai on. So henceforth, from that day forward, the people of God always look back. This is what they do, and here's what they remember, especially in the holiday of Purim. They look back and remember how God made a lowly Jewish girl in Esther. Made her the queen of all of Persia, and how he compelled her to willingly risk her life for the sake of her people, right? Esther was not safe to go before the king, and she did not know what was going to happen, yet God ordained that she would be brave enough to do this, and she did. They remember how God ordained that an elderly Jewish man in Mordecai was made second in command over all of Persia. This is one of those crazy Joseph-like stories where God takes this unlikely brother and rises him to the top, where he is in a position of power. They remember how God gave Mordecai the boldness to challenge his niece. If you guys remember, Mordecai goes to Esther. He says, you need to go on behalf of the people and fight on behalf of your people. Don't think that because you're in the palace that you're safe. He says, remember that God has prepared you for such a time as this. And he says, remember that if you don't do this, that God will raise somebody up to do what you are called to do. In short, he says, don't miss out on the opportunity that God has literally made you for in this time, in this season. And so the people look back and they remember this. They remember how he turned the tables for Mordecai, giving him favor over Haman, and how he turned the tables for the Jewish people that they might defend themselves against their attackers, bringing deliverance out of destruction and joy out of sorrow. So this is who their Lord is. They look back, and how important it is to look back and to remember in these situations that look utterly impossible. All things are possible for the Lord's people when the Lord is involved in the work. So to this day, the Jews, they still gather and they celebrate this holiday of Purim. It's a holiday, again, of gifts, of food. The book of Esther is said to be read in synagogues in its entirety. And as the story is read, there are cheers. They make noise with gloggers. And when Mordecai's name is mentioned, the people cheer. And when Haman's name is mentioned, the people boo and hiss. And so this celebration carries on to this day. This year it was in March, March 13th and 14th, the Jewish people were remembering this very thing. And all of this remembrance is to remember that though, this is Proverbs 16:33, though the lot is cast into the lap of men, its very decision is from the Lord. Right, as we look back, you remember the works of old, and it strengthens the faith of God's people of the works that he's doing in the present and increases their hope of what he will do in the future. It also, this came to my mind this week, it helps push back against our, I think Lewis coined the phrase chronological snobbery, right? This idea, it's the voice that tells us that whatever is happening right now is what is most accurately able to assess. Right now and the past and in the future, right? And as we remember the Lord and his mighty works of the old, we maybe start to find ourselves in a place of humility and where we say, well, maybe I don't really know as much as I think I know. And maybe as I look back and remember the Lord and I'm in wonder of him, maybe I realize he really does know what's best. And I can look back to the things that he's done in the past and know that I can trust him to shape the perspective of my present situation and my perspective hope for what is to come in the future, which for us, this is everything, that we would be able to truly walk in faith and walk with a hope of the now and not yet, right? So this last section, I just wanted to this is more of a call for us in North Bend to remember. And so the book of Esther closes with these words. It says this, Mordecai sought the welfare of his people and he spoke peace to all of his people. So as God's people, we get to look back and remember the story of Esther and Mordecai and of the Jewish people and their time in Persia, and we look back and we remember that they went through this season of war that came to an end in a season of peace, and we look back and we remember this celebration of Purim, and all of this, we're going to do this, and we've done this through the book of Esther, not ultimately to remember that our imaginations would be captivated with what God did for the Jews in Persia, but for us to remember what Christ has done with us in that he has given us deliverance from our sin and our unbelief, right? That our heart, which is the heart in the Bible is not just our emotions, right? It's the heart spoken of as like the seat of our everything you feel and think and everything you do. That's kind of what the heart really, when the biblical language of the heart, that's how it's expressed. So when we look to this story of the Jews and of the celebration of Purim, when we remember what God has done, my prayer is that our heart would be captivated. Every thought, right, and every emotion that leads to the things we do in action would be captivated, that we would remember Christ and that he has delivered us from our sin and unbelief, right? Just as Mordecai spoke of the people coming out of, he spoke about the welfare of the people. He spoke peace to the people. So it is with Christ in our lives, right? He has spoken clearly of our welfare. He has spoken clearly of the peace that we have in him as we remember him. This is what we see. And so every Sunday here, most of you guys know, every Sunday we read this scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said that this is my body, which is for you. And he says, you do this in remembrance of me. And then he said this, in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Right? Every time we take communion together, we remember Jesus's finished work on the cross. And we partake in the elements together as part of a symbol of our participation with Christ in his death on the cross, and we testify of his peace, right? We testify of how he is the one who's powerful to deliver his people. And so we look back and we remember again, because in doing so, we find the reason to believe in the present and a reason to hope in the future. 2 weeks ago, I read from Psalm 77. I read the, if you guys remember, the end of Psalm 77 is that section where it talks about the people make their way through the Red Sea. If you guys were listening or taking notes, which I know you guys love to do, we talked about how God made a way through the Israelites in their own little Red Sea of Persia, right? Like God made a way for the people through. He makes a way for his people. He always does. And so that's at the end of that Psalm 77. But at the beginning of the Psalm, it's very different. I didn't read it in its entirety, but what the Psalm is written by Asaph, and Asaph is essentially, he's essentially David, King David's worship leader. And Asaph, as he's writing, the first 10 verses are deep despair. It's darkness, it's heaviness, it's burdensomeness, right? But then something happens before the end, something happens as he comes out of the despair. I'll read you guys verses 11 through 15. Here's what he says. He says, I will remember. Finds himself in this deep darkness. And then he says in verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. He says, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and of Joseph. And so as Asaph looks back and he remembers amidst his deep despair, you see him start to buoy to the surface. Right, he starts to come to the top and he starts to be filled with hope, fresh faith, fresh hope anew to face whatever the challenge is before him. And so my question as we close is this, what about you and I? Right, are we a people who remember, who are willing to look back and to remember? Right? Are we so consumed with our present struggle that we can't see out, that we can't see anything? We're just so consumed. Or maybe you're somebody who is so consumed with the future, right? You have so much anxiety about all the what ifs. You're not afraid to die, you're afraid to live. I don't know if that resonates with any of you. But I want to let that question just simmer, right? Are we a type of people who are willing to remember? And if we find ourselves so consumed with the present or things to come, maybe we need to just slow down and take time and pencil out, schedule out time in our lives where we get to practice remembrance. Amen. Jesus said this in John 14 to his disciples. This is verses 26 and 27. He said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. By the power of the Spirit of Christ, through remembrance of the words of Christ, we have peace with Christ. We as God's people have been granted peace in Jesus, and we have deliverance from our destruction. And so the question again for us is, will we remember Jesus? Maybe it seems too simple. You want some sort of a different answer or immediate response. This is the one I have for you. Like, will we be a people who look to Jesus afresh this morning? And remember him afresh and trust the power that comes along with fixing our eyes on our God and the works he has done in the past to show us and to meet us in the present and in the future, right? Charles Spurgeon said this, and I'll close with this. He said, let your memory treasure up everything about Christ Jesus, which you have ever felt and known and ever believed. And he says, and then let your fond affections hold him fast forevermore. We're going to go into communion when I finish. And I encourage you guys. I don't know where you guys are at. I don't know your situation. Maybe some of you are rejoicing right now and you don't want to even listen to me. You don't want to remember painful things of old. You don't have to. Then look back and remember the things to rejoice in and keep going. Some of you are in maybe a bleak situation where things feel hopeless. I just want to encourage you to look back and to remember the works of the Lord. The things he's done for his people throughout all of history, such a powerful testimony, and the things that he has done for you. I assure you, if you are a Christian, the Lord has done some mighty things in the past in your life, and look back on every thought, every emotion, every action where you have encountered him and remember him and hold on to him, cling to him afresh, amen? Let me pray for us, and then we'll go into a time of communion together with the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to remember rightly. I pray that we wouldn't be caught up in some whimsical nostalgia or in some burdensome type of regret as we look back. I pray that we would look back and see you at work, that we would see your mighty deeds and your mighty works that we see from the beginning through all of creation. We get to see that no matter how much we failed or succeeded, you were always successful. You were always on the throne. You were always powerful and sufficient to carry out the works that you planned before the foundation of the world. And so I pray, Lord, you would give us as your people an ability to look back rightly and to look at you first and foremost and to see your mighty works and your mighty deeds, to remember all that you have done, Lord. And I pray that it would be a buoy for us, Lord, that it would help us in our present situation to have faith afresh, Lord, in you, in your finished work. It is enough. You are enough. It's sufficient. And that we would have a hope, a joyful, confident expectation that the promises that you have made about your people will come to fruition because you have made these promises and you don't go back on your word. And we can always look to your Son and see that you follow through with what you have said you would do, no matter how painful it is, no matter how costly it is. Lord, you are the one who is faithful to your people until the end, Lord. And I pray we would remember that. I just thank you this morning for every soul in here. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to gather together as freely, as often as we choose. Lord, we get to get together and preach your word, to sing your truths, to pray your truths, and to partake in communion with you. And Lord, help us to not take it for granted. So we thank you this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.